I brought this poll. You'll understand why I brought it in just a minute. I didn't bring it here just to hold myself up, but I may use it for that. The first five verses in Genesis chapter 3, the verses that Adam read for our scripture reading a moment ago, are a pivotal five verses in the Bible. Because everything in the Bible after the first five verses in Genesis chapter 3 are there because of what happened in Genesis 3, 1 through 5, and then in verse 6, which I'll read for you in just a minute. The rest of the Old Testament, all the New Testament, are there because of what happened in Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 5. Of course, you recognize, as Adam read it, and as you follow along in your Bibles, what happened in those first five verses. Satan, in the form of a snake, came and talked to Eve. And after Satan got through talking to Eve, Eve made a decision that has affected every single person that's been born except for one from that day. Every single person except one, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ, was affected at their birth by the decision that Eve made there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, where I'll just go ahead and read that verse to you, where the Bible says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." This morning, I want to speak on the subject snake talk. Snake talk. I have a real simple outline this morning. I want to tell you what the results of listening to snake talk is. I want to tell you where you can hear snake talk. And then my third point is I'm going to tell you what it is. And here's what I want to do this morning. I want to take out a big red hanky. It's clean. And I want to wave it this morning as a warning sign to everybody that's here, and I want to tell you, don't listen to snake talk. Because the snake talk will do the same thing to you and the same thing to me that it did to Eve. Let me just tell you what it did to Eve. First of all, listening to snake talk broke her relationship with God. Before she listened to the serpent, she walked in the Garden of Eden. And she looked forward to that time of day when God came and visited them in the Garden of Eden. She looked forward to talking to God at the end of the cool of the day. The Bible talks about it. And the cool of the day, talking to God and sharing with God everything she discovered that day in the Garden of Eden. The trees and the flowers and the brooks and the streams. I think that Adam and Eve may have lived in the Garden of Eden for a long time. We're not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I think there was new discoveries every day. The little birds and the insects and the vegetables and everything that was there made for them, they got to discover day by day, and in the cool of the day, they got to share with God what they discovered that day. They got to talk to God about what they thought about that day, what they learned that day. They could bounce ideas off of Him that came to their mind that particular day. And she and Adam had a relationship with God almost like no other person has had on this earth. And that relationship that she had with God was broken when she listened to the snake, when she listened to Satan in the Garden of Eden. Not only did it destroy her relationship with God, it destroyed her family. You see, the Garden of Eden was their home. And she had a wonderful husband. She was going to have wonderful kids. I've often thought about what it would have been like in the Garden of Eden if Adam and Eve would have had children before they sinned. You see, I think that was part of God's plan all along. I don't believe children were a punishment from God for sin. I believe that pain in childbirth is part of the curse that we got. But I think God's plan all along for them was to have children. I've often thought what it would have been like in the Garden of Eden for them to raise their family in the garden. But when she talked to the snake and she made that decision, it ended up in her husband disobeying God. The Bible says Eve was deceived. Adam knew what he was doing when he ate the fruit. So he disobeyed God. They eventually had children. Of course, you know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain, the first one born, rose up and murdered his brother Abel because of jealousy. And it all came back to this conversation that took place in Genesis chapter 3 where Eve listened to the snake. And then I would tell you the results of snake talk, it robbed her of her happiness. She lived in an ideal place. She had a wonderful home. She had a wonderful relationship with God. She did not have a care in the world. One of the wonderful things about the Garden of Eden, one of the wonderful things about heaven, is that we're not going to have to worry about anything. I mean, God, in the Garden of Eden, God took care of their every need. They didn't have to worry about what they were going to eat. They didn't have to worry about where they were going to live. They didn't have to worry about somebody coming in and attacking them. God met their every need. Now, we haven't had that on earth since the Garden of Eden, and we won't have it till we'll get to heaven. When we get to heaven, God is going to meet our every need. That's one thing that will make heaven heaven. And when she listened to this snake talk, it took every bit of her happiness away from her. She lost her home. She lost her relationship with God. She lost the family that she could have had. And snake talk will do the same things to us. It'll rob us of our relationship with God. Now, and by the way, Satan hadn't changed since the Garden of Eden. He still wants to destroy mankind. He still, I don't think he could get Adam and Eve to go to hell. And if you're a Christian here this morning, he cannot rob you of your salvation. You're saved everlasting. You're saved forever. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I'll tell you exactly what Satan wants to do to you. He wants you to go to hell with him. That's his purpose here this morning. If you're not saved, he'll say when I get to a certain part of my message, he'll say, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's not right. And when I get to that part of the message, I'll tell you the lies that he's going to tell you. But he wants you to go to hell. If you're a Christian here this morning, he can't take your salvation because we have everlasting life. But he sure can mess up your relationship with God. And that's what listening to snake talk will do. Where do you hear snake talk? Well, where did Eve hear it? She was in the Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden? It was several places to Eve. Number one, it was her home. In her home, where she lived, where she ate, where she slept, where she and Adam dwelt. She heard snake talk in her home. I want to tell you this morning, you can hear snake talk in your home. It comes to you over the radio. It comes to you over the TV. It comes to you in newspapers. It comes to you in magazines. It comes to you in books. It gets into our homes many different ways. Sometimes even family members come into our homes and talk like the snake did in the Garden of Eden. She heard it in her home, so do we. What else was the Garden of Eden? It was the place where she worked. God had assigned Adam and Eve to care for the Garden of Eden. It was where they worked. It was where they had their job. Do you know that you can hear snake talk where you work? I mean, you can hear it from your boss. You can hear it from your coworkers. You can hear it from suppliers. You can hear it from vendors. You can hear it from customers. I mean, you can hear snake talk in the place that you work. What else was the Garden of Eden to Eve? It was her school. It's where she learned about life. It's where she learned about the world. It's where she learned about God. You can hear snake talk. I tell you what, you can hear a lot of snake talk in schools. You hear snake talk in elementary schools. You can hear it in junior high. You can hear it in high school. You can hear it in college. Snakes are talking in our schools. Oh, and by the way, what else was the Garden of Eden? It was Eve's church. It was the place she worshipped. It's a place she communed with God. It's a place they talked to God. Do you know that we can even hear snake talk in this place? Sometimes even the pastor may talk snake talk. Doesn't try to do it, doesn't do it on purpose, but sometimes he slips up. And he can talk like a snake. Sunday school teachers, anybody in this place, if we're not careful, can talk snake talk. What else was it? It was a place, it was her social setting. It was where they had enjoyment. It was where they had fun. Do you know that we can hear snake talk at ball games? We can hear snake talk at the bowling alley. We can hear snake talk at the Dairy Queen. Any place, even at McDonald's, we can hear snake talk. Any place, and here's my point, any place we are, doesn't matter if we're at home, doesn't matter if we're at church, doesn't matter if we're at school, doesn't matter if we're at work, doesn't matter that we're at the places that we go to enjoy ourselves, we can hear snake talk. And again, I just want to get out my warning flag, and I want to wave it, and I want to say, hey, don't listen to it. Don't pay one bit of attention to it, because it will destroy your relationship with God. It'll keep you from getting saved. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your happiness. It'll destroy your life. Don't listen to snake talk. And so you say, well, hurry up, preacher. Tell me what it is so I know not to listen to it. All right? That's my third point. What is snake talk? Number one, snake talk is talk that casts doubt on the Word of God or tries to change the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, Satan started out, "Yea, hath God said." Has he said that, shouldn't you eat of every tree that's in the garden? Now, Eve sort of made a mistake. She added to the Word of God. She said, there's one tree we can't eat of, we can't touch, we're not even supposed to look at it. Now, God didn't say that. He said not eat of it. He didn't say to not touch it. He didn't say to not look at it. Maybe Adam added that when he was talking to Eve, because he knew if she looked and if she touched, he might take it. But she said, no, we're not. There's one tree we can't eat of, because the day we eat of it, God has said we're going to die. And Satan says, you won't die. Ye shall not surely die. God didn't really mean that. I know the words sort of say that, but that's not exactly what God meant. I mean, I know God said that if you wanted to please him, you'd obey him and not eat of that fruit, but that's not really what he meant. Now, I brought this stick along because I'm going to stomp some snakes with it this morning. Okay? Brother Larry and I like snakes about as well as each other. Brother Larry hates snakes. I hate snakes. Brother Larry runs when he sees a snake. You see, he sends Bev out there, go kill the snake, and that's the same thing I would do. Debbie, go kill the snake. No, I'm just kidding. I think he kills him. I'm going to stop some snakes this morning. Anybody that says you that the Bible is not the Word of God is a snake and is trying to get you. In 2 Peter 1:21, the Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You see, when we study about the Bible, I've heard people say, well, there were 40 men that wrote the Bible. Yeah, there were 40 men that God used as secretaries to pen the Bible. But they took dictation. None of those men, not Moses, not Nehemiah, not Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, thought of the words to put in this book. They listened to what the Holy Spirit of God said, and then they wrote down what the Holy Spirit of God said, and that's the words that we have in this book. God was very careful about the words that he put in this book. They're not put there by man. They're put there by God. I'll go a step further. In Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now what Jesus was saying is, God not only put the words in the Bible, he said in Matthew chapter 4, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So what Jesus was saying is, God not only put the words in the Bible, he put the punctuation marks in the Bible. He put the periods, and he put the commas, and he puts the semicolons. Everything that's in this book is because God wanted it there, not because man put it there. Because God put it there. In Revelation chapter 22, Jesus said this, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." And anybody that tries to cast doubt on what God meant in this book and say the same thing that Satan did, well, God didn't really mean that. I know the words seem to imply that. I know the words seem to say that. But that's not really what God meant when he wrote it in the Bible. They are snakes, and we need to just find their head, and we need to poke a stick through them or get a shovel and cut their head off because they're trying to destroy your relationship with God. They're trying to keep you from getting saved. They're trying to destroy your family. They're trying to destroy you. We need to come, just like we sang in the open assembly in Sunday school, we need to come to the point and say, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Now let me just kill some specific snakes this morning. I got a couple minutes. I just want to kill a few of them. Anybody that teaches evolution is a snake. Big debate going on in the world today. In our world today, in 2005, we're having court battles and we're having communities fight about they're going to teach this intelligent design. We've had to dress up the term because if we go in and say creation, if we go in and say God made everybody, we'll lose from the get-go. So we've gone in under the term intelligent design that says there was a maker behind everything that was made. And we're having battles over whether we can teach that in science. In science. Now, there's some people, there's some communities that have said, okay, we'll let you teach it as literature. Huh? We'll let you teach it as literature, not science. We're going to teach evolution as science. Anybody that tries to tell you that you descended from a monkey is a snake, and we need to chop your head off, and we need to stand because my Bible said God created the heaven and the earth. And God made man from the dust of the ground. And God breathed into his life the breath of life, and man became a living soul. No place in this book do I read about we evolved. I know there's some people try to explain it. Well, yeah, God made the single cell, and then he oversaw the evolution from that single cell into a rabbit and into a monkey and into a man. I'm leaving out a lot in between. That's not my Bible. I believe what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, where God took the dust of the ground, he formed man, he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then when he made Eve, he took a hunk of Adam's side and made the woman. I believe that's how it happened. I don't believe that we came from some monkey. I mean, sometimes I look at certain people and I wonder, but only for a moment. No, that's not where we came from. We were made by God. God made every single one of us. And anybody that teaches evolution is a snake, and they're trying to destroy you and your family and your relationship with God. Here's another bit of snake talk that's going around. It says, you can be God. You can be gods. That's what Satan told Eve. He said this. Now look, I know what God said. I know what you think God said. You think God said that not to eat of the fruit because if you eat of the fruit, you're going to die. That's not really what God meant. God knows when you eat the fruit, you will be like him. You'll be gods. And I know you think you can please God by just obeying and not eating of the fruit, but I'll tell you what, I'll give you an alternative. I'll give you a different way. If you eat the fruit and you became like gods, and you became like God, God would like you a whole lot better. You know, there's people teaching that same thing today. It's called humanism. Humanism says man is inherently good. And if you allow man to develop, he'll turn into something just like God. These are the people that say, don't discipline your children. Don't tell them that there's a right and there's a wrong. You just let them do what they want to do, and they'll grow up to be just like God's. Now, I tell you what. That's what they're teaching. Oh, that's what they're teaching. That's why you got to be careful where you spank your children, because they'll call human services and take your kids away from you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. They teach it in elementary schools. They say, don't, society shouldn't force people into being male or female based on their physical characteristics. They can be male or female depending on however they want to be. They say there's no absolute authority. Every person can decide what's right and what's wrong. And this garbage is being taught in the fifth grade. It may be taught younger than this, but I've only seen the fifth grade book. And I tell you what, it's a snake, and we need to kill it, and we need to cut off its head, and we need to say, no, I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, when we get to see God as God, then we know what who God is. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I got to hurry. Number three. Third type of snake talk. It's a talk that says you can please God some other way than His way. Huh? You can please God some other way than His way. That's what Satan was telling Eve. Now, he said, look, I know you think you can please God by just being obedient and not eating of the fruit. But there's another way. You can eat the fruit. You can be like God. Think of the relationship you could have with God if you were like Him. So you don't have to please God that way. Just go ahead and eat the fruit. It's an alternative, and it'll work just as good, if not better, than the way that God gave you. Satan's still in the business of telling that lie. He says, you can please God another way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Anybody that tells you today that you can get right with God other than through Jesus Christ, he's a snake straight out of hell, and we ought to go over and pin his head to the floor and stomp our feet down as hard as we can on his head, and we ought to stand and say, sorry, there's no other way to get right with God except through Jesus Christ. No other way. Those people that say, oh, no, no, you can join a church. They're snakes from hell and they need to have their head chopped off. Those people that say, oh, no, you can get baptized and you can get right with God. They're snakes from hell and we need to stomp them in the head. There is no other way. Jesus said that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And there's many people that are on that way, but narrow is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life. And he says, I am that way. You see, the gospel is this, and it hasn't changed. The gospel, even when God preached it back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where he killed an innocent animal and made a coat to cover up the nakedness of Adam and Eve to cover their sin, the gospel hasn't changed. And people that try to change it are straight from hell. The Bible says we're all sinners. Now, what the snakes will tell you is, oh no, you're not a sinner. You're a good person. You'll turn out good. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In God's sight, I am a wicked, dirty sinner. And so is every single person that's been born on the face of this earth. We're sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Here's what the snakes will say. Oh, God's a loving God. God won't send anybody to hell. How can a loving God, a God that made you and loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, how will he send anybody to hell? Hell doesn't really exist anyway. It's just a figment of somebody's imagination. Some preacher made it up so he could scare people into joining the church. I want to tell you something this morning, folks. There is a hell. It is as real as this place. It's a bottomless pit full of fire where the worm dieth not, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and every single person that tries to get to God some other way than Jesus Christ will end up in hell. God is a loving God. Yes, sir, He is. But He's also a God of judgment. And when these snakes say that there's another way to get to God through Jesus Christ, we need to chop off their head and say, no, there's not. He is the only way to get right with God. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the price when he went to Calvary for that sin. He shed his blood. There's churches today that are taking all the hymns in their hymn books that mention blood. Taking them out. Say, we don't want a bloody gospel. We don't want to sing about the blood. We're going to forget about the blood. They're taking them out. There's churches that won't let their preacher preach about the blood. Tell you what, if you take out the blood, you might as well throw away the Bible. If you take out the blood, you might as well close the church doors. If you take away the blood, you've taken away everything that's necessary for us to get saved. And we got to take those snakes and we got to kill them. And we got to chop their heads off. Sorry. We got to just stop them and we got to let them know. No, 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 no. You take away the blood, you might as well throw away the book. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. You can't please God some other way. You got to come his way. Now, here's what Satan's telling you right now. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, hey, don't listen to that guy. He's a kook. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You can get to God some other way. Just live a good life. Just be good. Just obey the rules of society. Be an outstanding citizen. God won't send you to hell. Don't you believe him. Don't you believe him for a moment. What he's trying to do is get you to go to hell. He's trying to get you to go to hell. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I stand on the authority of this book and tell you there is only one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the price that he paid for our sins on Calvary. And if you're here today and you've never received that, the Bible says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you've never received him, quit listening to Satan. Quit listening to all the snake talk. And you decide this morning, hey, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to come the way God said to come through Jesus Christ. Now, I know most of us here this morning are Christians. We've been saved. We're on our way to heaven. There's nothing that Satan can do, praise God, to take that away from us. We're saved everlasting. We're saved forever. But I tell you what, Satan's not done with you. He's not done with you. He wants to mess you up. He wants to get you off track. And he'll throw the fiery darts that's talked about in the book of Ephesians. He'll just keep pinging them at us. Say, I'm going to get them. I want to destroy their joy. I want to destroy their family. I want to destroy their homes. And so he'll come and he'll cast out on the Word of God. I believe this book is the Word of God from cover to cover. I believe it. I believe we'd be a lot better off if we just decided we were going to live by this book and no other. No other. This morning, if you're saved, just stand on the Bible. Stand on the Bible. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you for making it so plain and simple that even a little child can understand. There's children back in junior church this morning that are saved on their way to heaven because you made the gospel so simple that even little ones know that they need to ask Jesus to be their Savior to get right with you. I pray this morning for that one that may be here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray this morning they would simply come and do what the Bible says, that they would just take Jesus and depend on him, trust him to make him right with you. Father, if there's just one person here like that that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray today they'd make that decision and do it. And then, Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. Help us not to be discouraged by what Satan throws our way. Help us not to get off track. Help us to just keep being faithful to what you've called us to do. Help us to be faithful in sharing Jesus with other people. Bless the invitation. Help us to put aside everything that would keep us from getting right with you this morning, whether we're unsaved or saved. Help us just to put it aside and get right. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.